Let's now talk live to Bruce Williamson from the campaign group Rail Futures, who joins me live on the line. Morning to you, Bruce.
Good morning.
So, I am not really someone who is in favour of nationalisation, and I imagine a lot of people listening perhaps feel the same way. However, the thought of all of these billions of pounds worth of money and 680 million passenger journeys in the UK each year going to a European firm or a pair of European firms, many people will be saying, well, why can't UK firms run this service?
Well, and not only that, it's slightly more bizarre than that, because these European firms are often the state-owned railway companies of other European countries. So it's not the British taxpayer who's involved in running the railways, it's the French taxpayer in this case, because the bid here is 70% owned by SNCF of France. You know, I think the actual travelling public will notice very little difference, actually, certainly in the sort of short term, because it will be the same trains running to the same timetables, staffed by the same people. But I think in the longer term, the Welsh government is very ambitious about improving the service and reopening lines possibly, and there's this thing called the South Wales Metro. I think they want to improve the sort of commuter services around Cardiff.
But that would beg the question as to why a UK firm can't do that, because obviously there is this idea, isn't there, that anything that's nationalised is run pretty poorly, certainly here in the UK, quite wastefully, and that has always given, certainly in the last 30 years, the appetite for privatisation. And actually, you can understand that, but clearly a national government can run a rail service because, as you've rightfully alluded to, SNCF, the French rail service, will be a major shareholder in this Wales Rail and Metro franchise. So if the French can't do it, why can't the British?
Well, there's no reason at all. I suppose in this case, a British firm just wasn't willing or able to sort of come up with the bid. You know, it's the free market, as it were, just playing the way that the free market does. But I would challenge this idea that the state-owned sector is not efficient. Bizarrely, you know, take a deep breath, shock horror. British Rail was actually very efficient in terms of the cost per passenger mile, but British Rail suffered from decades of underinvestment, and that's the cause of the sort of problems that we perceive with British Rail. But it actually did a very good job of running a railway on a shoestring budget.
Well, personally, the whole concept of Thatcher's monetarist economy and the concept of competition, which being good for the consumer, of course, relies on other firms being able to come into the same marketplace and drive down prices, improve service for customers. I've never understood the privatisation of the railways, because there's only one set of rails. There's only one route from, say, London to Leeds. So you can't have more than one train operator operating on that line. So therefore, the public doesn't get competition. It's a private entity that essentially is running a monopoly.
I agree. The railways are a natural monopoly. I mean, there are one or two examples of where different firms are sort of running trains to and from the same destination. I mean, London to Birmingham is one example. But yeah, having said that, of course, there is always competition, not from other rail users, but the railway has competition from other modes of transport. You know, it's up against the coach and the car and the lorry and the aeroplane and, you know, even to a lesser extent, the cycle and the pair of legs. So there is that incentive to, you know, to make things work and put on a good service, but
there isn't a like for like competition,
no,
though. You know,
no, that, no, I agree. Yeah, and for that reason, I mean, a while back when the privatisation of the railways was first mooted, our organisation Rail Future suggested that it would have been better to privatise British Rail as one whole, and then you would have got the sort of the economies of scale and the integration that British Rail had, because it was one organisation managing the whole railway, and you don't have this sort of fragmentation, which I think really adds costs to the whole of the rail industry.
And of course, we've seen absolute chaos here in London and the surrounding counties with the Thames Link and Southern and all these new timetables coming in. And again, if you're one of those commuters that has bought one of these season tickets, you're stuck. There isn't another train company that you can use to get from St Albans to central London. It's Thames Link.
Yeah, certainly. And in the case of sort of commuting to central London, you know, there aren't really any viable alternatives to the train. This whole Thames Link thing has been unfortunate, but I think actually, if you look at the bigger picture and in the longer term, we'll see it as a good thing. There's been a huge increase in capacity, new trains and new routes and so on. And I think this is just a sort of, inevitably, when you're introducing major changes to a route, there's going to be sort of initial hiccups. But I think these are really a short-term blip. It may not seem like it at the time, but looking at the bigger picture, I think certainly on Thames Link, things are getting better in the longer term.
I mean, I know that commuters have been desperate to hear that for years, but it is staggering incompetence to not have the trains and the drivers in the right place for a timetable change.
Yeah, I think so. I think there certainly is an issue with the level of staffing. There simply weren't enough drivers available. And, I think there's no excuse for the train operating company not to have seen that coming. but other aspects, I think, of making a major change to the railway, you can't do that without some sort of hiccup along the way, I think, even with the best will in the world.
What would you like to see happen to the railways? You are the from the campaign group Rail Futures. What is your objective? If you had the government, the Transport Minister in front of you right now, what would be your number one priority?
I think in very broad term, it has to be long-term investment in the railways. The railways have suffered for decades, and actually we continue to suffer from this sort of feast and famine, this stop-start issue. We've seen it with electrification. That's on, then it's off, then it's on, then it's off, and that's not good for the railway. And on the issue of electrification, of course, I think Network Rail and the government have sort of bitten off more than they can chew, whereas it would be better if we just had a slow, steady, ongoing electrification program that sort of filled in the gaps and did new lines and so on, and carries on going beyond what is happening at the moment. And then you'd have a core crew who are experienced, who have got a steady workload. And the same is true of other aspects of running the railway. We are playing catch-up when it comes to capacity. I mean, put this into context, passenger numbers have doubled in the last 20 years, which is quite staggering, really. And the level of investment to give all those doubling of passengers a seat on a train just hasn't happened.
Okay, thank you very much. We'll have to leave it there. That's Bruce Williamson from the campaign group Rail Futures here on Talk Radio.